Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Get the week started with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and of course with me is the guy who sadly did not win $3 million in the Fortnite tournament over the weekend. That would be Dan the Man. So, hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but hey, stop on over there any day just to see what's going on. And, of course, while you're there at good old sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you can link that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with 3 E.
Oh, all right, Dan. You know, I know we got a lot of, I what I want to call minor trades or however you want to look at it. But there's one thing I got to start off with that just is just kind of just bothering me today. And I'm not sure if you saw the highlight of this, but, you know, yesterday Trevor Bauer had just a terrible outing. And, you know, I think it might have been the bottom of the fifth inning, and he was really scuffling. So they're going to take him out of the game. You know, they call time, and Terry Francona's coming out, and you know what's going to happen. You know, he's definitely coming out of the game. Well, he turns around and just rockets the ball into the center field bleachers. Now, you know, I get it. You know, call it what you want. Was it unprofessional? Yeah. Was it childish? Well, yeah, of course it was. But, Dan, you know, from what I've watched today, it's led off almost every show I've seen, and I don't understand why this is such a big deal because, you know, one of the things they complain about Mike Trout is he never shows his emotion or his personality. We get a guy who does it because he's upset. And they kill him for it. Now I understand why no other guy would want to do it. You know, was it really that big of a deal?
I mean, if I were hosting a show and let off with it, I would have let off with the fact that it's pretty impressive that he launched it that far.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is, hey, he got it all the way into the bleachers. You know, I don't know how many other guys could have done that. You know, and I mean, you know, nobody was hurt. He didn't hit a fan or anything. You know, the funniest thing about the whole incident, if you see it, is when he turns around to wing it, the guy standing behind him is his second baseman, and he jumps out of the way like Bauer's throwing the ball at him. And it's actually kind of hilarious. But, I mean, they made a giant deal out of it, and then somebody had actually went so far as to say that it's going to hurt his trade value now because teams aren't going to want this kind of guy. I'm guessing this moron has never seen Trevor Bauer pitch before. So.
Well, let me ask you this, Big Jack. Chris Sale cut up a bunch of jerseys. How much did that hurt his trade value?
Right, yeah. Did it cost them in the end when you know, when they were dealing Sale off, you know, I think Bauer's got another year of control. You know, I mean, he's a top starter, and, yeah, we're worried about him and it's not like, you know, he was upset with a teammate or he was blaming a teammate for something. He was mad at himself. And, you know, you can see right away he realized he made a mistake. When Francona comes out to get him, Francona is really the only guy in this entire situation who has the right to be upset because he's the manager and he has to kind of control these things. But you can see Bauer pretty much apologize to him as soon as he comes out. you know, after you know, after the game, he made himself available to reporters. He didn't hide. You know, he apologized to everybody. He did the right thing, you know, towed the company line. You know, it, you know, to me, it's not an issue. But, man, it was – I was thinking maybe it was a slow news day because, they, you know, they acted like he, you know, he robbed a bank or something. So yeah, I don't get it. It was just kind of stupid for, you know, to me, and I was like, yeah, okay, great. So.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, it was a slow day for news, and I forgot what, you know, what trades happened today. I'm looking at the transactions. I mean, if you think about it, honestly, the biggest one, which I'm sure you and Chalmers too talked about on Friday, was the fact that the Marlins sent Sergio Romo and someone else to Minnesota.
No, actually, that didn't happen until after we were off the air, so we never even got to talk about it. So, and
Chris
one Valima of those,
and a player to be named later.
One of those, you know, exciting things that we did not get to get to, but you know, I mean. You know, the trade market's still kind of slow. You know, I mean, there was some I think the only big name guy to go anywhere was, you know, Marcus Stroman went to the Mets yesterday for two minor league pitchers. And I guess the thing I can't figure out, Dan, is why were the Mets even in on this?
How long does this contract for?
You know, I thought I saw he had another. Did I see 2 years? Let me see if I can. You know, my, like I was telling you right before we went on air, my internet is being a little bit of a fussy. You know what? So let me see if I can find some information on him here. But yeah, you know, they gave up a couple younger prospects that do it. I did see the one guy had a 6 ERA. So, there we go. Here's the lovely contract site you and I like to use. Good old Sport Track. No, it does look like he is just signed through this year, but next year is an arbitration year. So he is under control for next year before he reaches free agency in 2021.
That's an interesting trade for them.
Yeah, you know, and then the side note everybody thought was the fact that they were either going to turn around and trade Stroman someplace else or they were going to move Noah Syndergaard. What they ended up doing, and maybe they will still do one of those things, but what they did is they shipped Jason Vargas off to the Phillies for a minor league catcher. So, you know, I don't know if that was the corresponding move and they'll stick with their five, which is a pretty good rotation. You know, if you think about it, I mean, you add Stroman to DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, and Mops, and that's a big time rotation. If the Mets weren't, you know, what are they? I think are they 7 games under 500 or, you know, I mean, it's almost kind of a move a contender would make. And I think that's what kind of baffled everybody.
Well, I mean, technically they're only 6 games out of the wild card, 11.5. No, I mean, personally, I don't think anyone's taking Atlanta. So, I mean, you know, there's a quite possible that they're able to kind of overtake Philly and Washington.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess if they got on a run, you know, if the pitching got rolling, you know, I did see a couple other people who believe the Mets did this because they want to, the term they use was hold the Yankees up. Because as weird as it is when you come to talk about the Yankees, they actually have a really good farm system. So people are thinking maybe the Mets are going to try to, you know, really force the Yankees into giving some stuff up, you know, if they want one of those guys.
Yeah, well, you know, with CeCe just being placed on the IL,
right.
I think they would be a great team to go after.
Yeah, you know, that puts the Yankees in a, you know, an interesting spot with, you know, CeCe getting hurt. So, I don't know. I am interested. You know, the name I kept seeing the Yankees would be willing to move would be Miguel Andujar. I don't understand what you get for a weak defensive third baseman who's out for the season. You know, obviously he is a big-time power hitter, but I don't know if he fits in the National League. I mean, he's a horrendous defender. So, you know, that could be a huge drawback there. Of course, this is the Mets we're talking about, and they obviously do odd stuff. You know, there is still talk that they're going to move Edwin Diaz. You know, there are a lot of teams in on them, but he has a really high price tag as well. You know, and he's really struggled this year, but he was an elite closer last year. I don't know. I think with the closer market the way it is, I would save my guys and go get like an Alex Colomay or, you know, see what the Reds want for Wasil Iglesias before I would step up to Diaz, because that's a big, big price to pay. But, yeah, it's – you know, I mean, at least they're making it interesting. So, you know, we'll see. So which Met pitcher do you have going? Do you have them, you know, is it Syndergaard or Wheeler, or would they just move Stroman again, or what do you think they're going to be doing there?
I don't know. I think maybe it'll be Stroman. But then again, you never know. They could surprise us with Syndergaard being gone.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it was definitely a unexpected trade. Well, you know, not so much that Stroman got traded, but the landing spot was kind of like, oh, okay. I mean, anybody who had him going to New York had him going to the Yankees. So,
maybe Toronto didn't want to do one of those in-division deals.
Yeah, you know, that is always possible. You know, there are teams who don't like to do those kind of things. So, you know, who knows? But then we had, you know, besides Vargas getting moved, the Brewers did go out and get a pitcher. Interestingly enough, for the second time in two seasons, they've acquired right-hander Jordan Lyles. Last year, he was with the Padres when the Brewers went out and got him. This year, he was with the Pirates. He had made 17 starts for Pittsburgh. He was 5-7 with a 5.63 ERA. All it cost him was a 25-year-old reliever by the name of Cody, I'm going to guess it's Ponce. who they just converted to the bullpen. He was a second-round pick in 2015, and he, you know, just made a swap to the bullpen. Last year, Lyles looked like he pitched in 11 games for the Brewers, all in relief. He was 1-0 with a 3.31 ERA. You know, Dan, we knew all along the Brewers were going to need a pitcher. This is pretty much the kind of move they make. I heard everybody, you know, the big thing is, oh, you know, the Brewers aren't done. You know, they're going to go get Robbie Ray. Oh, I'm going to choke on myself here. You know, they're going to go get Robbie Ray from the Diamondbacks, or, you know, they're going to jump in on, you know, Wheeler or Syndergaard. You just wait. The Brewers are making a move. Okay, Dan, you buy it?
Not really. But, you know, maybe they'll trade away Grandal and then then take Maldonado from the Cubs. Maybe that's going to happen.
Can they do that? He's only on a 1-year deal, so. But yeah, like I was kind of saying, this is exactly the kind of thing the Brewers do. They add, these under the radar kind of starters. Last year it was Gio Gonzalez. So it's not going to surprise me at all if this is the only move they make, or if maybe they go out and they add another piece very similar to this. Somebody we're really not talking about. Because nobody had Jordan Lyles going anywhere, and then it's like, okay, the Brewers got him. So, you just wonder if there's another bottom of the rotation guy out there that they will go get that won't cost them much. You look at this Cody Ponce, and obviously he was a failed starter. It looks like he was having some success in the bullpen this year. In 27 appearances, he was 1-3 with a 3.29 ERA at AA. Obviously the big wild card here is he's 25 and he's still in AA. Maybe as a reliever he'll progress a little faster. And the Pirates have always had good luck with pitching. So, maybe this is a good move for them. But, obviously you're not going to get a top prospect for Jordan Lyles. So, I kind of wonder, Dan, and I know we don't keep track of all this stuff, but, the Brewers have made some different moves here, here and there through the years now. Do they still have the farm system to go out and get a guy like Robbie Ray, who, if he is available, is going to be one of the top starters?
Well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, because it would take a little bit more than Yasmani Grandal and the other person I saw that they might be sending out somewhere to get Robbie Ray.
You look at some of the starters that may get moved, even if it's Wheeler or Syndergaard, they're not going to come cheap. Obviously Robbie Ray's not going to come cheap. Maybe Mike Minor is a little on the cheaper side, but it's going to cost you to get Bumgarner if they decide to move him. Trevor Bauer's not coming cheap. Neither is even Matthew Boyd. So I just don't know if the Brewers have that, can put that package together. Because obviously Travis Shaw isn't going to bring you much back. So, I don't know. Obviously I'll pull their farm system up here real quick, but all the prospects are going to be in A ball, and none of that is going to really probably give us any answers, but I'll try to get a quick look here. Give my internet a second here, and we'll see what happens. But I just don't. I don't know if they have the Dan. They can't trade Yasmani Grandal. There's a bobblehead night coming up next month. So.
Well, that goes with the trade.
Yeah, so not that it hasn't happened before, but I wonder if they still have. No, it doesn't look like they have him listed. Yeah, no surprise, Dan. Their number one prospect is currently in A ball. Their number two prospect is currently in high A ball. So you can see where they're going here. This is kind of the way the guys who rate these things get out of it. Because obviously when you're rating an 18- or 19-year-old kid, you don't know. They do have a isn't Triple A, and maybe they could get something there. But the majority of these guys are so low in the minors that unless you're packing up four or five of them, you're not getting a big time starter in return. So
basically, what you're saying is you don't see any hope for them.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they have the ammunition that, you know, say a Yankee team or a Padre team or even an Astros team seem to still have hanging around in the minors, you know, to go out and get one of those guys. And, I mean, obviously, you know, the Yankees have a guy who's probably ready to play every day in Clint Frazier just sitting in AAA. So, you know, that's obviously a big plus. I mean, you could throw the Dodgers in there, but I don't believe the Dodgers are looking for a starting pitcher. So, you know, yeah, I'm not quite sure if the Brewers have the kind of guy the team would be looking for to make that turnaround. You know, they could probably add another guy like George Lyles or a middle reliever type of guy, but I don't think they go out and get a top starter, do you?
No, I don't think so at all.
So, oh, but, you know, since it is, you know, we're right there, you know, the deadline is just a couple days away. They've narrowed the list here, Dan. They have seven guys most likely to be traded. So I'll throw them at you, and you tell me if you honestly think they're going anywhere. They start with Mike Minor of the Rangers. Now, I didn't know this, Dan, but apparently he has a partial no-trade clause in his contract. That's not the deterrent it used to be, but, you know, his name is popped up in a lot of different places. Do you see him finally being moved, even though he's definitely said he wants to stay?
No, I see him staying.
So, all right. Then the second guy, we're into the bullpen. Obviously, there's a lot of bullpen here. Ken Giles of the Blue Jays is the first guy. You know, he had some issues closing for the Astros. He worked that out here in Toronto. I honestly don't know if a team would bring him in as a closer, but do you buy the Blue Jays continuing to move guys and Giles going on?
Yeah, I think he goes.
All right, now, interestingly here, they have the top three spots as the Dodgers, Braves, and Nationals. Do you have a favorite out of that group?
Maybe the National.
All right. Well, here's an interesting one. Number three on their list is Felipe Vasquez. You know, the Pirates have done everything they can to tell you he's not going anywhere because I believe he signed through 2023. So, obviously, if he does go anywhere, it's probably going to cost a lot. He is one of the top relievers in the game, though, Dan. You see a team paying the price for Vasquez, or does he stay put?
I think he stays put.
All right, we get to number four, Dan. Here's our guy, Yasiel Puig. He's in the last year of his contract, so he would probably be just a rent-a-player type of guy. The stats they have here, 11 homers and 10 doubles in his last 39 games, so maybe his offense is coming around after kind of struggling. You got Puig moving along somewhere?
I think he goes.
All right, now here's their top three choices for him. They have Cleveland, Philly, and Tampa Bay. You see him going to one of those spots?
I like Philly. But then again, Tampa Bay is definitely a runner up.
All right, they have a giant pitcher here, Dan, on the list, but it's not Madison Bumgarner or Will Smith, who would be probably the top two guys we would have thought of. They believe Sam Dyson will be the giant reliever that makes the move. And he's surprisingly, he's the only giant pitcher on this list. You know, he's been much better than he used to be in Texas. You got somebody adding him as a setup piece?
Yeah. I mean, I think for them it would be much better.
All right, now dice three spots are the Astros. Again, we're going back to Tampa and then possibly Washington. You see them going one of those three places?
Tampa, they need it.
All right, number six on the list, Dan. We just talked about it. Robbie Ray is the guy hanging out here. You know, he does have the extra year of control, so it's not going to be cheap. Do you see Arizona actually making this move?
No.
All right, then the list wraps up here with Scott Oberg. You know, all of a sudden, he's been the best reliever in the Colorado bullpen. They mentioned here that he's 29 and he has 2 years of control. So they believe that brings the Rockies a top prospect if they move him. Do they move him, Dan?
No.
So, all right, there you go. Dan doesn't have too many of these guys. Too many of these guys making the move there. But, yeah, those are apparently the seven most likely guys to be dealt by Wednesday. So. Oh. Well, yeah, you know, I don't know. Oh, and then I did think this was kind of humorous because I know this was a story you had mentioned a time or two, and I don't know if you saw this. But the White Sox activated Eloy Jimenez off the injured list. Now, obviously, to bring him back, they had to make a corresponding move. And that move was, Dan, they designated Jose Rondon for assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember you telling the story, you know, that you heard through Bruce Levine about how he was going to be their starting shortstop and, you know, a big-time piece to their infield. And now, basically, he's out there for me to grab. Isn't that kind of odd?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those that what your local beat reporter is really reporting on. Is he reporting what he's fed to him so he keeps the job? Or, you know, what is their true MO? Obviously, you know, he had them going this season, Soto leading off, Tim Anderson out of the
picture,
and you know, basically a World Series team. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, wasn't Tim Anderson supposed to move to center field, right? Wasn't that the big thing?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I would have saved his lineup just so I could like, hey, Bruce, what happened to this lineup in your championship team?
So and then there were some other trades we didn't get into. Dan did mention Sergio Romo did go to the Twins. The A's went out and added Jake Diekman to their bullpen. And sadly, Dan, I know this will disappoint you. It looks like the Cubs missed out on Eric Sogard. He was dealt to Tampa Bay yesterday or 2 days ago maybe. So I know you're really let down there with that. You know, and then I do wonder, you know, this is the other thing, Dan, if you're a son of a former major league player, do you just automatically end up on the Blue Jays, or how does that work?
Yes, that they activate Bo Bichette.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously, you know, they have Vlad Jr., they have Craig Biggio's son, Kevin, and now that they've shipped Sogard off, they called up Bo Bichette, who was hitting 275 with 8 homers and 56 games at AAA. And apparently he is in the lineup starting at shortstop. He's all 21 years old, Dan. So they'll have Bichette at short, Guerrero at third, and Biggio at second.
Yeah, that's pretty good for them.
So, yeah, kind of interesting how it works out. I mean, obviously, two of the three fathers were Hall of Famers. So.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be interesting, too, to see in 5 years if this team wins a World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're very young. I'm off the top of my head, I'm not sure how old – good old Vlad and Biggio, but they're not, I don't even think they're 20. Are they even 22 or 23 yet? I was thinking Vlad was old 20, but I think that's a little too young.
Yeah. Well, I do have to ask, and I know Sogard is off the table and he's not with the Cubs, but, we talked about it a little bit, but with Ben Zobrist being sent out to rehab beside that, I mean, why in the world would they have traded for him? Why did everyone want the Cubs to trade for him when you would essentially have four of the same guys? Russell, Pascalso, Zobrist, and then if you were to add Bogart into it, that makes absolutely no sense. And not also the fact that you have Ian Happ. So, I guess my question is, why the hell did everyone want to trade for him?
Yeah, just really quick, I was right. Vlad Jr. is only 20, and Kevin Biggio 24. Yeah, you and I went over this, and again, it was the only thing where, I never get this. I don't understand why people don't listen to us. I get it. Russell is the odd man out, and we'll probably never see him in a Cub uniform again. I'll even be shocked if he's a September call-up. Looking at the way things go, I never understood it. I mean, David Bodie can play second and third, so you don't have to worry about somebody backing up Bryant. Yeah, you don't want Javier Baez out of the lineup, but if he needs a day off, Descalzo could fill in nicely at shortstop, just for a day. Or now that Ian Happ is back, he can play second, third, short in all three outfield positions. The question, of course, is will he hit? Because he is 0 for 11 since he's been called up, but that's a kind of a small sample size because Martin Maldonado doesn't have a hit yet either. Looking at it, and it was weird because they were talking like Sogard was going to inject all this offense into the Cubs lineup, and I didn't get it. I know he's having a great year, but, his career numbers don't support that this is going to continue. So I just don't know, what the excitement was. If I was going to go out and get a guy like this, I would have probably rather Jonathan Villar, who's got a little bit better of a track record and can steal a base if you need it. So, yeah, because looking at Sogard's numbers, Dan, right now he's got a career high in home runs and batting average, and he's 7 short from his RBI, his career RBI total. He's never hit 300 in his career except the 2010 when he only played 4 games with the A's. So, yeah, I didn't understand the excitement behind it. I get it. They want the Cubs to do something, and I think they need to do something. But was that it? Was that going to put him over the top?
That's kind of what I was going to say. Was it a move that they wanted him to make just to make a move? because they were upset that they didn't in the off season.
So yeah, I honestly think that was it. And my guess is once they announced that Zobrist was coming back, that probably ended any talk of them actually seriously considering getting Sogard, because like you said, they're the same player. You know, and obviously there's going to be a lot more loyalty towards Zobrist than there is just some guy we're going to trade for. You know, so I definitely think that kind of killed it. You know, again, if you watch the series against the Giants and the series against the Brewers, what they need is bullpen help. You know, I mean, they've had their last, I think, six starting outings have been really good. They've lost four of those games because the bullpen sucks. Well, I mean, how did they lose the one game? Craig Kimbrel gave up his bat. Was it back-to-back homers or home runs?
Gave up the home run.
Yeah, you know, and I you know, some of these home runs, again, are just jokes. You know, I think the ball that Kiru hit off him, I don't think that gets out if we're using a regular baseball. You know, it's probably off the wall, but it's not getting out. I mean, that ball just had so much carry on it. It was a little like the Schwarber home run to left field yesterday. That ball had no business getting out. It should have been a fly out. But with this basically super ball we're using, these balls go out of the park. So. You know, just like that drives me nuts. You know, it makes it so difficult to kind of, you know, you look at a guy and you wonder, I mean, you know, is this pitcher really this bad, or, you know, is it just the fact that he's giving up regular fly balls that in any other year are outs? You know, but again, with this piece of crap ball, and, you know, they can deny it all they want. We, you know, anybody who knows the game knows better. You know, it's just, it's a ridiculous joke. They wanted some offense in the game. This is how they were going to interject it. And, you know, you can tell they went too far, but they can't change anything till next year now. It would be too obvious. So, you know, and all you have to do, I mean, anybody's saying, well, oh, what are you talking about? That's not right. All you got to do is go and look at the Atlantic League. The minute they started using the baseballs provided by Major League Baseball, their home run numbers went up like, was it 300 or 400%? So, you know, I get it. You know, you don't want to believe that leagues do this. It's kind of like talking about the government. You don't want to believe that government does these things. But, you know, they want and they need the excitement in the game, and they honestly believe home runs bring it, and that's what's going to get them their audience. So they're finding ways to give you home runs. You know, it just kind of, you know, kind of more or less worked against them, I think, because, you know, while it's, I don't even know if I won't call it interesting because it's not interesting at all to me, but, you know, it's added some basically ridiculous numbers to the game, you know, and I mean, there's, you know, I mean, we're looking at a chance where we may get a record number of guys over at 60 home runs or more, you know, depending on how things close out. You know, it does look like we have an opportunity for, you know, and I'm not even going out on a limb here, but there's a chance we get 20 guys over at 50 home runs or more. And I don't think we've ever done that. I mean, Yelich is 14 away from 50 home runs, and Alonzo, Bellich, and Trout are 16 home runs away. You know, they'll probably all get there. You know, we have all of August, all of September. I won't be surprised if those guys get there. You can't tell me Edwin Encarnacion at 30 home runs right now can't get there, because that's what he does. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just ridiculous. And, again, I get it. Baseball has to deny that they did anything. You know, I mean, they're, you know, the excuse is always you blame it on the factory from where you buy it. You know, that's their ticket. That's how they kind of do things. So, you know, okay, you know, whatever it is. I mean, didn't this happen 2 years ago? Well, you know, the way the balls were wound when we were putting them together. Yeah, sure it was. Whatever. I mean, your excuses are your excuses, but, you know, it's not the truth. You know, it's what you throw out there for people to see and just be like, oh, yeah, well, this is why this is happening. We didn't have anything to do with it, and we didn't set it up, and, you know, however it worked, yeah, okay, great. So there you go.
I mean, but wouldn't you just be a little bit more accepted of it if they were to just be like, yeah, we adjusted the balls?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if they came out and said something to the effect of, well, you know, we went with a different style of baseball this year, and this is what we did. You know, we weren't expecting these results. Or if, you know, they came out and said something like that, yeah, hey, at least they admitted it. But I mean, all they're doing now is they're hiding behind the company that made it.
And, you know, my next comment is not at all to offend or put a knock on Sammy Sosa. So please, Sammy, if you're still out there listening, I'm sure you listen to us every day. It's not a knock on you whatsoever. But do you remember when the pork bat issue came about?
Yeah. Oh,
and it was the old, oh, well, you know, these are the bats I use during batting practice to get balls out to the fans. I mean, you know, he's been, I don't want to use the wrong negative word, but he's been kind of demonized in baseball by baseball. I don't know if you go as far as the Pete Rose level, but, you know, he's pretty much taken a lot of the weight of that, the quote-unquote steroid era, on his shoulders. I mean, Sammy's, I think, the one who's bearing the brunt of it. Palmeiro's kind of an afterthought in that, where, you know, only people in baseball will know about him, but everybody knows Sammy. But, I mean, isn't that – aren't they just using kind of what he did? Is there a way they're
using except they did it
to
baseball. They did it to the baseball, not the bat.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, Big Jack, but it's kind of the same excuse. Like, oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't know. I grabbed the wrong balls.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously it was determined somewhere in baseball that, you know, they needed offense to liven up the game. So you jack up the ball and you let the guys hit home runs because you can't let them take PEDs. You know, you got to remember when McGuire and Sosa were doing all this, they saved baseball. And now they're both basically pariahs because of it. You know, like when McGuire was taking Androstene, there was no rule against it. You know, there wasn't anything in the Major League rule book that you couldn't use these kind of things. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, God, look what he's doing. Can you believe this? And, you know, all these rules started popping up. And, you know, Sammy's another guy. He's never tested positive for anything. But, you know, you look at him and you automatically think, well, he's a user. So he, you know, he doesn't get consideration. And it's odd where guys like, you know, who have now left the game. I mean, you look at Alex Rodriguez, who is a confirmed PED abuser. And he's heralded in the game. I mean, they had a birthday cake delivered by his girlfriend to the booth last night on the Mickey Mouse Network.
Yeah.
You know, he's this revered figure in the game. And Sammy and McGuire, I know McGuire has had some coaching gigs, but, you know, they're looked at as bad guys.
Yeah.
So,
wherein A-Rod's whole career is basically based on the PED. And not only that, the thing that I think, you know, sucks more about it is that it all comes from one place, and that was down in Miami, which oddly he went to school or, you know, was associated with the same people Ryan Braun was associated with, which were included inside the Miami Hurricanes University, where also where did some famous football players go turn pro wrestler, who was a big, I don't know if you'd call him abuser because there wasn't really, you know, whatever you want to call it. So, you know what I mean? It's just, it's funny how that whole lineage goes down to Miami. But like you said, Sammy and Mark really kind of saved the game, because 94 was the strike. And then 4 years later, you've got these two guys battling it out for an atrocious number of home runs between the Cubs and St. Louis. I mean, I dated a girl who was actually at the game that down in St. Louis where one of those two hit the home run. You know, I forgot which one it was, but yeah, it was pretty cool to see this guy on TV. Sadly, I didn't get to jump up and kick the baseball. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Not that I would ever jump anybody in Steeler baseball, like
what? Oh,
some guy at Wrigley Field did to some kids. Well, he didn't jump him, but there's a whole story behind that. I forgot what they called him. It was kind of funny when I was reading it. But, you know, I mean, I think the difference between Sammy and Mark, and then you go with A-Rod, is the fact that Sammy and Mark, even Canseco, you know, I really don't remember the looks of Palmeiro. What they did different, though, was these guys grew up, you know, they shifted the era, and I'm not going to use the word steroid era, but they shifted an era where guys didn't work out and these guys hit the gym. You know, I mean, when I was a pro wrestler, I started off at 180, 185. I dislocated my ankle, spent about a year out. Once I was able to train again, start moving, I strictly did weightlifting because I couldn't run, you know, with an ankle. I could do little squats, but all chest and upper body, I killed it. And I hadn't seen any of these guys for over 10 months. And when I came back, oh, he's in the Mitchell report.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, worked on, in the gym. So, you know, I think that was one of the differences between, and I'm not comparing myself to Sammy and Mark. I didn't get to compete at their level. But I think, you know, they went from an era where guys didn't hit the gym, and they did. So it kind of was spotlighted on them a little bit more, especially after the, well, you know, kind of Mark's fault too for it, for leaving stuff in the open in his locker for, you know, reporters to find. And what didn't help that era even more was Jose Canseco's tell-all.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? You look at it, and I, you know, like, you know, McGuire and Sosa, and especially Sosa, are both really personable guys. You know, and obviously that's what helped A-Rod a little bit, because he is, you know, he definitely has personality. You know, and that may be the hindrance with a guy like, you know, Barry Bonds. You know, Bonds has never really been a relatable character. You know, and I think, in the end, that hurt, you know, that really hurts him. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's because they were the first guys or how it kind of worked out. But, yeah, they're, you know, they never, you know, obviously baseball's not going to give him the credit of them saving the game, even though, you know, any fan knows they did. But, yeah, it's just kind of baffling when you look at these things, the way these guys are treated, you know, with just maybe it's the different eras and people don't really care as much, you know, or how it worked out, but it's weird.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, maybe because A-Rod did it in an era where there was a rule. I don't know. That he wasn't supposed to, or because he didn't have to go testify in front of Congress. I don't know if that was the issue.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, that's what killed Palmeiro, is he stood up there pointing his finger saying he didn't take anything, and then apparently he tested positive. So,
yeah.
You know, that kills your whole argument. So, you know, not much you can do, but yeah, I, you know, again, like I said, I don't, you know, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, some of these guys are going to be looked at. I mean, how does it play out for Ryan Braun when he's finally done? You know, I mean, he's a designated cheater. Robinson Cano just got tagged this year or last year or whenever it was. So, you know, he's going to have that stigma hanging around him. And, you know, Cano looked like he was on pace to be a Hall of Famer. You know, I doubt that happens. Well, you know, that goes away. So, how will some of these other guys come out? Or just see how it goes. I mean, you know, I don't know what Jason Giambi's doing now, but I don't hear much about him. And, he's a confirmed feeder. So,
well, and I think, even though he never
his apology, he just said he was sorry, but he never said what for.
Yeah. Well, you know, the difference between, and I just remembered this. I don't know why it didn't dawn on me prior to this. But the difference between A-Rod, Sammy, and Mark is Mark and Sammy didn't don the pinstripe. Well, they did, but it was for the wrong team.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, for me, I think one of the things that if I were a voter, and I'm going to say in somewhat of an interest of reviewing, I think what would kill A-Rod for me is the fact the lack of production post, you know, the steroid issue.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of been my Barry Bonds argument. I believe Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he started taking anything.
Yeah.
That thing did was his numbers went from really good to fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, does Bonds get an asterisk to go in that states he's only a Hall of Famer for his Pirate years?
Yeah, you know. So, you know, Clemens, I don't know about, you know, but Bonds, I definitely think he's a Hall of Famer, you know, because when you start looking at his numbers and you see kind of the jump, you know, which definitely indicates there's something going on, you know, he was on pace to be a Hall of Famer before any of that stuff happened. But, you know, with pitchers, it's a little harder. I mean, you can't just look at Clemens' numbers and say, okay, well, he made a big jump here. This may have been where he started using.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, he could have been too. And, I know Sammy didn't hang around the ballot long a few years, but, you just wonder why. I mean, I guess they just, he took something and that was it, even though, you know, again, he was another guy who I don't believe ever tested positive.
No. I don't, you know, that report came out how many years ago now? It's been so long, I haven't looked.
You know, I am curious, Dan, how you kind of view this. What happens to the guy who tests positive in the minors and then comes up and has a fantastic career? You know, the Astros have that top pitching prospect. You know, I want to say
Forrest
his name
Whitley?
Is Forrest Whitley. Yeah, who picked up an 80-gamer or a 50-gamer or something like that. But, I mean, we're looking at a guy who we may see in September this year and then possibly could be a mainstay in the Astros rotation starting next year. How is a guy like that going to be viewed, or how are you going to view him when he finally gets here?
I don't know. I mean, to me, he served his suspension and repeat offenders, their punishments become more harsh to the fact of where they're pretty much out of the game after so many. So you more or less have to trust in the system, I guess, that they have in place. The hard part about that system, though, is it's random, but I mean, I guess I've never even thought about looking into it, but, you know, once you test positive, shouldn't they kind of go with like a parolee kind of situation? And I'm not saying you got to mark these guys as criminals, but I mean, in the sense that you're on probation for 2 years and that your random testing isn't the same as, it's not as involved. Your testing doesn't come involved with the rest of the leagues. where there's a special committee for, you know, offenders, PED offenders, and they get tested randomly throughout the 2 years or whatever. And then they go back on to the regular protocol.
Yeah, because, you know, another interesting name, not even so much Forrest Whitley, you know, on that list, but if you remember, I think it was 2016. I'll have the date here in a minute. Yeah, well, now, you know, then he was Raul A. Mondesi. Now he's Ed Alberto Mondesi of the Kansas City Royals. Got a 50-game.
I forgot about it.
So, yeah, you know, and even like, you know, you add in, you know, Frankie Montas of the A's, who was having a fantastic season. You know, he's a young guy, you know, just picked up an 80-gamer. So, yeah, you know, it's just kind of to the point of, you know, how, you know, because obviously, you know, Mondesi, I believe, is in the running for Rookie of the Year. You know, I think he still has a, rookie numbers or rookie whatever the heck they call it, you know, qualifications. So, yeah, I mean, you know, could he be Rookie of the Year as a guy who was once suspended?
I think so. And, I mean, that's one of those things where you can't always let the past dictate their future. You know, guys make mistakes, and as long as they work to, you know, work themselves better. How many times can I say that word? I don't really have an issue with it. It's just how the media decides to pick and choose who they want to do that to. You know, and you got to imagine with Mondesi, his saving grace though is his dad. And I only say that because, you know, anyone in Major League Baseball journalism or whatever, however you want to put it, in the media portion, are, you know, the ones that have been around are, you know, my generation past yours. So these are all guys who knew of his father. That might give him a little slide on that.
Yeah, oddly, there's a boatload of suspensions this year in the minors, just starting, you know, back in January. So it's interesting. I guess maybe they figure it's better to get it there and get it out of the way.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't know. They were young and vulnerable. They were taking advantage.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard this one, and I know it's a different sport, but did you hear Golden Tate's excuse for failing a drug test?
No.
It was apparently an ingredient in the fertility drug he was taking because him and his wife were trying to have a baby.
That could be viable.
So,
especially if you have proof.
I thought that was a good one. You know, the funny thing is, there's ways to do this. You know, if he reports it to the league before he starts taking it, then there wouldn't have been a suspension.
Yeah.
You know, leagues have ways of allowing guys to do this. You just got to kind of follow the chain of command. I mean, you know, how long did Chris Davis of the Orioles take that whatever he was taking for the illness he had or the symptoms he had? A couple years he got it approved through baseball. So you can do it. You just got to do it the right way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, with Tate's situation, you've got to imagine it was one of those where he just didn't even think. You know, he's just getting hounded by his wife, so he's just going to take that pill.
Yeah, I'm sure. I just thought it was kind of humorous that was what he got. Come on and listen to this live YouTube channel to do that. But remember, the podcast is available anytime you want.
Sportsnet Radio.com.